house of the Lord. Let's stand together and worship.
Almighty fortress, you go before. grateful that the battle belongs to Jesus. Can we lift up a shout of praise?
You.
You just feel like it. Just begin to lift up your own song right now. There's Spirit of the Lord is here. And I think he's just doing something. If you have a heavenly language, just begin to stir that up. Just begin to cry out to him. Let's not waste this moment. If there's something you need from him, ask him. We have not because we ask not. In an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit is moving, ask him. Talk to him. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever sing. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. 'Cause you are holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every Jesus, we thank you for this time of worship. Lord, we thank you what you're doing in this service. Lord, we continue to turn our hearts over to you, to turn our lives over to you, to turn our souls over to you, to turn our thoughts to you, and keep worshiping you as the word comes out. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, we all shouted, amen, amen. Come on, y'all came to worship. Say hello to somebody on your right, on your left. Give them a hug, a high five, a handshake, whatever you're comfortable with. And as you do that, you can take your seat. Turn your attention to the screen.
Hey everyone, we're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in person or online, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using our Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, see us at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church. Have a great week.
I want to thank you for giving to the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world. And thank you for giving to our building fund. Jesus said, give, and it shall be given back to you just a little bit, just enough to get by. No, that's not what he said. He said, give, and it'll be given back to you a good measure. How many of you know that God's shovel is bigger than your shovel? Pressed down, shaken together, running over, God will cause people to rise up and pour blessing into your lap. How many of you know that when you receive a bonus, when you receive a promotion, a pay increase, sales and commissions, when God blesses you in your buying and selling, how many of you know that's your Heavenly Father causing people to pour blessing into your lap? You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can give by credit card or debit card if you like to give that way. If you do use the offering envelope for that, please remember to use the 3-digit code on the back of your card to write it in on the place that's provided. And that way, Ethel, our bookkeeper, doesn't have to hunt you down during the week. You can slip your check in the offering envelope. If you're giving by cash and you'd like to receive credit for that, just slip it into the offering envelope and write your information on the outside so that our office can properly credit you. Want to welcome everybody that's worshiping with us online at this 10:30 a.m. worship service. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We're thankful that we're connected by God's Spirit, and we're thankful for technology that allows us to worship together. You can give to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Some people like to give by text, and there's information for giving by text on the screens behind me. You can also find it in the bulletin. Just before the ushers come to wait on us this morning for our offering, a couple things for you. Last week after our second service, we had our annual report. And during that meeting, we selected two new deacons for our board of deacons and trustees. And so we want to congratulate Peter Adams, who was with us in the first service, and Dr. Rana, who's with us in this service, doing another turn on the board. God bless you, Dr. Rana. And we especially want to thank Jonathan Naylor and Jason Chaser, who are coming off a turn on the board, and we sure appreciate their service. And if you see them, make sure you express your appreciation. Right after this service, we're having a light lunch and a meeting for people on our ushers and greeters team. After COVID, we're trying to get everything back together again and get our teams fully staffed and up and running. And so if you've signed up for that meeting, we'd love to meet you downstairs for a little bite of lunch and a quick meeting. If you didn't sign up, but you'd like to serve either on our usher team, greeter team, welcome center, we invite you downstairs immediately following this service today. Gonna ask the ushers to come to wait on us this morning. For all of our moms and dads, we have ministry for kids from birth right up to elementary school happening right now. We have nursery, we have toddler nursery, we have children's church happening in the community room. If you do have a baby here in the sanctuary, and while the preaching, how many of you know you can only hear one preacher at a time? So if your baby starts preaching while the preaching's going on, we have some quiet rooms in the back of the sanctuary, and you can slip in there or you can go to the nursery, and there is a live feed from the sanctuary downstairs in the nursery. And how many of you know your kids are happier in children's ministry? And you're happier if your kids are in children's ministry. And we are all happier if your kids are in children's ministry. Bless our kids. We're going to hear about kids today. Let's just give thanks to the Lord as we give back to Him this morning. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered Him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes and offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, would you bless these loaves and fishes? Would you cause them to be more than enough to meet the need of this, your house, and the work of your kingdom all around the world? Bless every giver in this offering today. Open the windows of heaven, just like you said you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you say amen and amen? God bless you while you give this morning.
And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up our eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And holy,
come on, let's thank our worship team one more time. Well, we're incredibly blessed to have our dear friend, Pastor Judy Mensch, with us this morning. Pastor Judy served on our staff as our children's pastor from 1999 to 2001. Judy was actually, when I became the senior pastor of Harvest Time, Judy is, you're the very first person that I hired, Pastor Judy, and it was a great hire. Then I hired Pastor Dan McCauley and Pastor Faith after that. But Judy served our congregation. When she went forward from us, she went on to teach children's ministry at Zion Bible College, which is now called North Point College. And then she was in Amsterdam for 14 years in Holland, doing children's ministry, helping the churches. How many of you know that Europe is a great mission field? And Judy was helping churches in Western Europe to raise up children's ministers, children's ministries, and ministering to kids. Judy's been home for about 2 years, and while she's been home, she's made Harvest Time Church her home. She has helped out with our kids' ministries for the last 2 years, and we've been so incredibly grateful. Judy, thank you. Thank you for everything that you have poured into our kids and our children's ministers and for working side by side with my wife, Denise. We're super grateful. Judy has a new assignment. The Assemblies of God tapped on her shoulder and asked her if she would move to Spain and base out of Spain. And Judy is about to launch ministry to the refugee children from Ukraine that are in Eastern Europe. And they couldn't possibly pick anybody better for the job. Judy's going to be basing from Spain and establishing children's ministry centers in Poland, Romania. The Ukrainian children are scattered through all of Europe now, and so they're going to be using art therapy and drama therapy and the gospel of Jesus Christ to just minister to these traumatized children. At the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity to sow into this ministry. And since this is Judy's home church, I want us to do more than anybody else. And so I know you're all cozy in your seats there, but would you stand for just one moment, give your best welcome to our friend, Pastor Judy Mensch.
Thank you. You know, when you get a good introduction, it's a little weird because then you have to live up to it. And normally I would apologize for sitting during preaching, but you're all sitting, so I don't really care. No, just at this time, I have to be good to my back, so you'll pardon me for sitting, and then my back will be good to me. You need your back, you know? Really, to walk, to stand, things like that. So I just have to be good. Hey, it's good to be here. This has been, you know, for a few years I was on staff here when we were in the rec center. And then, and now you're here in this beautiful building. But I have been helping, like Pastor Glenn said, and loving it, because I still love working with children. I've worked with children for 47 years. That's no small thing. 47. Do they give you something at 50? I don't know. It is some gold watch. I don't know, something like that. And but I have felt like this church is my home church, because I live in Suffern. It's kind of a bit of a trip. It's like a 40-minute trip, but you know, when I see the sign "Welcome Home," I feel like you're talking to me. Because I feel like it's home. So thank you. And some of you have been my friends for a very long time, and I appreciate that. And there's a little music playing right now. Is that my theme music? Do I have to turn into a superhero? Oh, okay. We don't need any music now, but it's good. I like it. It's very nice. Thank you. I didn't know what it was for. It's okay. I'm allowed, right? Noah's great, isn't he? I love it. Yeah. So I want to tell you how the service is going to end. I thought that's fair, because then if you don't like us how it's going to end, you could leave now. You don't have to waste time on the message, which I don't want you to leave, but I am going to tell you how it's going to end. I will be talking to you about some moving things regarding children, and I hope they move you, but not just emotionally. Being moved emotionally is nice. It's good, but if you're not moved to action, it does nothing. It's like me getting $2 million and burying it in my backyard. Technically, I'm a millionaire. But what good is that money doing anybody? Just being buried. Well, that's what being moved is like, and not being moved to action. It's like burying a treasure. So at the end of the service, I'm going to give you some options on how to act on how you are being moved today. So that's how the service is going to end. And then also, I'm giving myself a little commercial here. I'll do it now, because I don't want to do it at the end. But I'm selling some books. I did not write the books. My friend wrote the books, who is a chair at Valley Forge, the University of Valley Forge. The book is for children, teenagers, and young adults. But half the proceeds go to my ministry. So I want to sell her book, right? So that's my commercial. That was my only commercial. No, it's not. I'll probably be like, the whole thing is really a commercial. But no, it's not. It's a message. But it's a message that I have prayed that God would touch your hearts. That's what I want to see happen. Now, how many of you know who D.L. Moody is? Raise your hand if you know who D.L. Moody is. Okay, there's a lot of people that don't know who D.L. Moody is. D.L. Moody was a preacher. He was an evangelist. He lived in the 1800s, and he started churches, he began publishing companies, and he started schools for boys and girls. So he was a good man, and there's a university named after him, and there still is a publishing company, Moody Publishing. So he was a good guy. Anyway, this story takes place like around 1860, 1870. He's preaching a revival service, and he gets home late. And his wife, Emma, is asleep already when he got home. And so he tries to get into bed quietly, not to wake her, but she woke up. And she turned over and she said, "How was the meeting, honey?" And he said, "It was great." And then she said, "How many converts did you have?" And he said, 2.5. And she thinks for a moment and she says, "Oh, that's so sweet. How old was the child that got saved?" And he said, "No, 2 children got saved and 1 adult. Because a child has their whole life ahead of them, and the adult's life is half over. I am a missionary to the children of Europe. That's my job. And I love telling the story. I'm really a storyteller. I love telling the story to children. And I love telling the story of Jesus to anybody, of course, but children are my favorite audience. Because when you look at a child and you tell them that God came down to earth in the form of a man named Jesus, it's like freaky for them, right? It's great. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of freaky too. You don't have to be a child to think it's freaky. Or when you tell them that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, like God, the God, wants to have a friendship with you. They're like, "Get out. Really?" And if you think about it, you should think that way too. Like, "Get out. God, the creator of the whole earth, wants to be my friend," and you should be floored by that. But kids show it. Kids are floored by that. So I love telling the story to children. And you know what? I believe that those people who work with children in the church here have the best jobs of all. Best ministry, if you work with kids. Yep. You can clap for that. How many children's workers do we have? Will you raise your hands? Okay, there's a bunch. Look around. There's a bunch of hands up. Good. Even in the back, even some tech people work with children. That's good. Yeah, but it's the best job. Now, all ministries in the church are important. The worship team was great. Loved it. I'm sure you love the way the pastor preaches, because Pastor Glenn is a good speaker. He's a very good speaker. Okay. And I'm not just saying that because you're taking an offering for me. And there's other ministries in the church, all very important. I mean, when I was working with the children, the Connect Desk people were like my heroes at the Connect Desk. So every job is important, but the most important are children, working with children. It's true. Is it because I'm biased and partial? Partly. I am biased and partial. But working with children is the best ministry because you can change a child's life. You can change a child's life. You can. And it is so important to be able to do that. And when you change a child's life, well, you could change it for the better or for the worse. Hopefully it'll be for the better. But you know, it's not so easy being a teacher of children. Actually, James 3:1 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brothers and sisters, because if you do, you will incur a stricter judgment from God." Doesn't that make you want to sign right up? God's going to judge you more strictly if you work with children. Why is that? Because children are like little pieces of clay. How you form them, that's how they stay. You know how I know that? Because some of you are in therapy because of how you were formed when you were a child. And you don't have to be a prophet to know that. Some of you have never reached your potential because of the negative words that were said to you. But God wants us to speak positively to children and to teach them the right way, to rightly divide the word of truth for children so that they are loved, encouraged, fed, and grow into the men and women of God that He wants. That's what should happen. And that's why children's ministry is the most important ministry in the church. I told you, I'm biased. Deal with it. Okay. Children will believe anything you say. They will. If I went back there to the children's area and I was teaching today and I told the boys and girls, we just found new evidence that Jesus had three arms. He had two arms like we have and one arm sticking right out of the middle of his chest. And when he healed people, he used this arm. They would be like, "No, that's not true." And I would say, "Yes, we found Dead Sea Scrolls, and it says that." And the kids would go, "Really?" And I would say, "Yes, it's true, a third arm. And when he prayed for people, he used this arm." And the kids would start drawing pictures of Jesus with an arm sticking out of his chest. They would talk to each other. "Can you believe it? Jesus had three arms. I wonder if he had a fourth one from his back, too." And they would go home and they would say, "Mom, Dad, guess what? Jesus had three arms." And the mother would say, "No, he didn't. He had two." He'd say, no, he had three. "My teacher told me." Children believe what you say, and we must tell the truth to children. Children need our wisdom. Children need our help. Children need our encouragement. Children need the good words from our mouths. Yep. It can change the trajectory of a child's life. And don't you wish it happened to you? Maybe it did happen to some of you, but maybe some of you not. Now, I want to tell you another story. My stories are a little older, but this one's newer. It happened in 1918. In 1918, there was a great blizzard in South Dakota. And all my stories are true stories today. They're not always true stories, but they always have true meanings. But today, all my stories are true. So it's 1918, and in South Dakota, there's a great blizzard. And Herb Gilby is home, cold, and all he wants to do is make a cup of hot chocolate and sit in his living room. And there's a knock on his door. So he goes to the door. Oh, by the way, 1918 was the big pandemic. Spanish flu, they called it. So this is what's happening. So there's a knock on Herb's door. He opens the door. It's his neighbor. His neighbor is a pharmacist. So he's wrapped up, you know, coats, scarves, hats. And so Herb invites him in. And he takes off his scarf, and Herb looks at him, and he looks terrible, doesn't know if he's sick or not. But he said, "Are you okay?" He said, "I'm okay, I'm fine. But my son Pinky, it's turned into pneumonia." Pinky was the nickname of his seven-year-old son. He said, "It's turned into pneumonia." And Herb said, "Is there anything I could do for you?" And the pharmacist neighbor said, "Well, they have this new medicine, but we don't have any in South Dakota. They sell it at a storage warehouse in Minnesota. So could you go there and get it?" Herb said, "Is there anything I could do to help?" And that's what came back. It was 250 miles away, and it was a blizzard. But Herb said he would go. So he got into his Model T Ford, and because the roads were not all the roads were paved, and it was a blizzard, he couldn't go more than 35 miles an hour. It took him all night to get there. He found the storage warehouse. He bought the medicine, just turned right around, came back to South Dakota, and gave the medicine to the pharmacist neighbor, who gave it to his son, and it worked. His son got better. Now, a few years later, Herb, the one who went to get the medicine, he died. He was an older man, so he never saw Pinky grow up. I mean, he knew that Pinky was healed and was cured by that medicine, but he never heard about what happened to Pinky because he died. And Pinky, when he started getting older, used his real name, which was Hubert Humphrey. And as we know, Hubert Humphrey became a senator in Minnesota and then our 33rd vice president of the United States. One good deed from Herb Gilby, who never even found out the good deed did anything spectacular, but a good deed, a good word, a good encouragement can change the trajectory of a child's life. And that's what I want to happen here. I am telling you, this is very, very important for us to understand that we can change the whole. We can change the men and the women these children will become. Because you know what? The children are not only the future church. They're the present church. They are the church now. They're not just the little guys that run around in the back or that we tell to stop running through the hallways. They are the next generation. They are the ones that will be our deacons. Soon they'll be voted in for the board, you know, that you talked about, your board here. They're the ones, so we must teach them the right way. They are impressionable. Now, I want to read to you from Matthew 9:36 and 37 and 38. You know this scripture. You've heard it when there need people in the church. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now, I'm going to ask you to try to picture the harvest. Okay? It's a harvest of people. It's not a harvest of wheat or corn. It's people. So I want you to close your eyes. It's not a trick. You'll still have your wallets when your eyes open and your watches. Close your eyes and picture the harvest. It's a harvest of people that are ripe for the picking, people that need to know Jesus. Are you picturing their faces? Okay, picture their faces. a field of people. Okay, now open your eyes. How many of you pictured friends or relatives? Raise your hands. Okay. How many of you pictured people you don't know, strangers, strange faces? How many of you pictured criminals or drug addicts or people that, you know, we put on the, okay, all right? Now listen, if you did not picture that every other person in the harvest field was a child, you pictured incorrectly. Because right now in 2022, half the world's population is under 14 years old. So if you didn't picture that every other one was a child, you pictured it incorrectly. Children are rarely given any place in society that they deserved. And we in America, you know, we're in America, and I'm saying that. The rest of the world is even worse. In developing nations, children are the first to die. You know that. When disease comes, children are the first to die. And 55% of all children who die in the world die of malnutrition. Children are vulnerable. And there are not just things like that, but other abuses of children. Do you know that in the last few decades, that the wars around the world killed more children than soldiers? That's true, including this Ukrainian thing that's happening now. Imagine bombing a maternity hospital. How evil can you be? A maternity hospital was bombed. And then there's other atrocities to children. I think pornography is bad enough. Child pornography, I just want to scream at something like that. Child pornography, and it is so prevalent in today's day and age, or sex trafficking. And it's the children who are worth the most. Children in sex trafficking. And those are the bad things. There are even good things kids get caught up in. There are things like maybe they think money is the most important thing, or a good career is the most important thing, or how many degrees they can get, educational degrees they could get. And those are bad, those are not bad things in and of themselves, but our priority should be Jesus. Our priority should be God and teaching kids to love God. They are the most vulnerable of our society. And you know what? They can't stand up for themselves because they're children. They can't. They can't protest what's going on around in the world. They're children. They can't vote. They can't get involved in politics or have a voice in global affairs. They cannot advocate for themselves. Children cannot make up think tanks, okay? They can't wield any influential power in any direction. They can't study the effects of poverty or the outcomes of abuse. They're children. They have no voice. We must be their voice. And regarding the children, the Great Commission that says, go into all the world and make disciples. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's the Great Commission. As far as children go, the Great Commission has become the Great Omission. It has. We have forgotten about the children. And it's not just the world, it's the church too. You know, if children's ministries was not low on the totem pole already, the pandemic really put nails in the coffin. I'm telling you, it was the first thing to go and the last thing to come back. It even broke my heart here. When I was here, you know how the rules kept changing. Whatever the governor said, it was percentage, it was numbers. I remember we had a shut down children's ministries after it was opened again so that we could have 75 more seats for the adults. Broke my heart. And what are the kids going to do? Rise up together and say, let's go to church anyway? Let's just blast right in. We have rights. They're children. They don't have the voice. There's a battle going on for the souls of the children. There are voices shouting to them from the world, from the enemy, from apathy. And the church must be the loudest voice. Must be the loudest voice. A loud voice that gives encouragement, hope, and love. Those are three very important words. Encouragement, hope, and love. The children must know that God can put people back together again. Not like Humpty Dumpty, and who couldn't be put back together, but people can be put back together again. And that's what has to happen. We must give the children hope and confidence. And that's my heart's cry for Europe. That's my heart's cry for, and America. You know, I did all children's stuff while I was here, home these last 2 years. I did the Christmas programs, the Easter programs, VBS. I mean, it was great because I still love working with children. 47 years I'm working with children. Yeah, you could say wow. Because I look pretty good. But you know, I'm no spring chicken. I'm actually now taking on this new assignment at 68 years old. Right? So I don't know, I guess you could call me a late fall, early winter chicken. Whatever that is. But this new assignment is huge. Imagine that. I get to go. I'm mostly going to go to Poland and Romania, but I'll go to any country that wants me to open art and drama centers for the traumatized refugee children of Ukraine. This to me is unbelievable. It's like a gift. You know, some missionaries tell you about all their sacrifices. Not me. I feel like every time I've gone overseas in Holland for 14 years and other various trips in Africa, two different countries in Africa, and Rosanna came with me to on one of those trips in, to Angola. So, you know, we had a little connection here for the Angola trip. And all of those things, I never felt like I was sacrificing. I always felt like I was being rewarded. And that's how our giving of anything should feel like. Not just money, but just giving of yourself. Like, wow, what a reward. I get to work with children. I get to help little Ukrainian people. I get to help them see that there's hope and light, even though they've been displaced and their fathers have died already and they only have their mothers. And I just found out, just like a week ago, how important the grandmother is in the Ukraine. I didn't even know that, but most of the grandmothers didn't even come. So we have these mothers alone with their children. And they're in all different countries, and I get to do this, and I need you. I do. I want to take teams over, like 10-day trips. I'll be living in Spain for some practical reasons. So you'll meet me in Spain, and then we'll fly over to either Poland or Romania, or whatever country asks us to. We'll go there. We will train people how to do like art therapy and drama therapy, lay people. I'm not a therapist, but I have loved and worked with children all my life. So I know a little something about kids. And now so many people have contacted me to give me help. Somebody just gave me their whole training material. I know, I'm so blessed. If you speak Ukrainian, you're in. You'll come on one of these trips with me. Or if you know a little bit about art therapy, drama therapy, or you love children, you'll sign up and you'll come with me. We'll email each other until the first trip comes, which I'm assuming is going to be in about November. I'm moving to Spain in August. So, you know, I have to get settled, blah, blah, blah. Have to learn Spanish. That's okay. It's got to be easier than Dutch. and I speak Dutch fluently now, but pero no lo sé. The Spanish people know what I just said. I think it's easier than Dutch. But so I'm thinking maybe November will be our first trip. You'll contact me. I'll be at the book table, and you'll come, you'll buy a book, we'll talk about it. You might go somewhere else after the book table. Remember I told you about that call to action, move to action? Yeah, I haven't told you your options yet. I will in just a moment. But that's what I am doing, and that's what I need you for. Of course, I also need your money. You know, I'm allowed to say that. I'll tell you why. Because I'm a Jew from New York. I'm a nice Jewish girl from Brooklyn. And, but also, when I say I need money, I want you to know that I have financial clearance all ready to go because I have all my money for like housing and what salary I'll get and utilities and things like that. I don't have a car yet, but that's another story. So, but I have all my money for everything. So anything that you give today will go right to the work that we're doing. I want to be able to build sustainable art centers with trained people and leave things with them, like a large amount of art supplies, because this thing is not over in 10 days. Your trip might be, but this thing is going to be years with traumatized children. So I want to leave sustainable places. So that's another way I need you. I also need you to be prayer people. Put me on your list, okay? Judy Mensch. I'm a genuine mensch, okay? Judy Mensch is my name, and you'll put me on your prayer list, and you'll pray for me, all right? Those are some of the things that you can do. Those are some of the things that I need. And I also want to say, I don't know if you realize this, but Harvest Time has been supporting me since 2006. So, thank you. Yeah. And that's really huge. Could have been even 2005, because I moved to Holland in 2006. So maybe it was 2005, something like that. I look over at the, you know, I look at the pastor, the missions people, you know. That's what I do. So listen. Jesus loves the children. Am I telling you something new? I don't think so. Jesus loves the children because remember when the disciples tried to stop the kids from coming to him? He said, don't let them go, for such is the kingdom of God, these children. Not only did Jesus love the children, but he had a high regard for children. Here's my favorite scripture. It's not really my favorite scripture. In a funny way, it's my favorite scripture. Mark 9:42. If anyone causes one of these little ones, one of these children, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. You get it? That's how he feels about children. A small millstone could be 2,000 to 3,000 pounds. And Jesus said, a large millstone should be tied around your neck if you cause a child to stumble. And you should be thrown into the sea. Jesus said this. You know, he was like a peaceful guy. But he loved the children so much and had such a high regard for them. He was like mafia. Right? Let's put a stone around your neck and throw you into the sea if you cause this little one to stumble. Now, I don't really know about the mafia. I don't have any personal experience, but I do know that it's not a good thing, okay? So Jesus loves the children, and you should love the children too. Not only should you love the children, but you should help to change the trajectory of their lives. They may be pointed in one direction. You can help change that direction. Now, I wanted to tell you this last story. Where's my piano player when I need him? That was my cue. My last story. Oh, yeah, my last story. Okay. So, oh yeah, I got up. I have to get up a little bit. First of all, I wanted to show you my lovely pants. Don't clap at my pants. You know, they're ankle pants, but for me, they're regular pants because I'm so short. So, anyway, this story is a true story, like all of them were. But this happened around in the 1950s. It's about a boy named Teddy Stollard and a teacher named Miss Thompson. Miss Thompson was a fourth grade teacher, and every year the school year would begin and she would say to the boys and girls, I have no favorites, I love you all the same. But you know, that's not true, because teachers always have favorites. They do. And even worse than that, they have kids that they just don't like. And Teddy was one of those kids. Teddy Stollard was one of those kids. Well, it was sort of, it was seeable. You could see it. Because sometimes, most of the time, Teddy would come to school and he had this glassy look in his eyes, a real glaze over. His hair was messed up. His clothes were unkempt. He was just kind of a dull boy. And he didn't do well in school. And for some reason, Miss Thompson had this perverse pleasure when he would get answers wrong on his test. She loved making X's next to it or putting a big F on the top of the paper. And she should have known better because she had Teddy's records. This is how they read. First grade, Teddy's mother is very ill, and his father is absent from the home often. Teddy needs a little extra attention. Second grade, Teddy's mother is terminally ill, and his father started drinking. Teddy needs some extra attention. Third grade, Teddy's mother died this year, and his father is drinking and is ignoring Teddy. Teddy needs extra help. Miss Thompson had those records. She should have known better, but she didn't. Now, the school year was passing, and it was Christmas time. And you know how kids bring in little gifts for their teachers? So the kids all brought in little gifts and piled them on her desk. And she said she would open them later. And a little bit later in the day, she started opening the gifts. And the kids all gathered around the desk and oohing and aahing as she opened up the papers. And Teddy brought a gift. His was not wrapped in nice paper. His was wrapped in brown paper and tied with a string. But he brought a gift. And when Miss Thompson came to his gift, she untied the string and out fell this gaudy rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing, and a bottle of cheap perfume, and half the perfume was missing. And all the kids started to laugh, and then Miss Thompson at least had enough sense to take a little of the perfume and put it on her wrist and hold it up for the kids to smell, and that kind of like stopped the laughter. So the school day was over. This is the day before vacation, the Christmas break, and all the kids were leaving, and Teddy stayed behind. The rest of the kids were gone. And he walked up to Miss Thompson's desk and said, Miss Thompson, I'm glad you liked my gifts. My mother's bracelet looks beautiful on you, and now you smell just like her. And then Teddy left. Now, Miss Thompson was a believer. Her heart was breaking. She went home. She got down on her knees in her living room, and she said, God, this is not the teacher I want to be. Change me. Make me an instrument of you. Help me to help kids like Teddy and the others that are falling behind. And she prayed for 2 weeks. And when the vacation was over and the kids came back, they were greeted by a new Miss Thompson. She was like a different woman. She started helping the kids that were not doing well, especially Teddy. She would even go to his home sometimes. And Teddy's grades started going up and up and up until by the end of the school year, he had caught up to the rest of the class. And so did some of the other kids too. It was great. That was fourth grade. Now, it was several years until she heard from Teddy again. But one day she got a letter from him and it read like this: "Dear Miss Thompson, it's me, Teddy Stollard from the fourth grade. I'm not sure you remember me, but I just want you to know I graduated valedictorian from my high school, and I owe it all to you because of what you invested in me in the fourth grade. Love, Teddy Stollard." Then 4 years later, she gets another letter. "Dear Miss Thompson, it's me again, Teddy Stollard from the fourth grade. I want you to know I graduated first in my class from university, and I owe it all to you because of what you invested in me in the fourth grade." And then 4 years later, she gets 4 years later, she gets another letter, and it says, "Dear Miss Thompson, it's me, Theodore Stollard, MD. I'm a doctor now. And Miss Thompson, I met a girl that I want to marry. And I would like you to come to the wedding and sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive. Because you deserve to sit there. Because you changed the trajectory of my life in the fourth grade. Love, Teddy Stollard." Miss Thompson went to that wedding and sat where the mother would have sat if she were alive. And Miss Thompson deserved to sit there because she changed the trajectory of his life. Now, I know that I'm a fun person and I'm funny, but I'm very serious now. Children must have hope, encouragement, and love. Not only the children in Eastern Europe. That's what I'm doing with this information I just gave you today. That's what I'm moving to action. That's what I'm doing. What are you going to do? Some of you might come with me, and that's great. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. We need people right here at harvest time to work with the children, right? And we need people right now. And there are some of you out here who are going to sign up today to work with children. And I'm sure those are the children's ministry people clapping already, saying, "Please come." You can do it. You can be trained. You can be helped to learn how to do it. And if you're not a teacher, there are other things you can do. You can do the once a year things like VBS or the big Christmas things we always do or the big Easter things we always do. Or maybe you can buy the snacks for something or you can write out birthday cards or something. Everybody can do something because the children need you. You know, there's an old African proverb that says, "It takes a village to raise a child." It's been overused and it's been abused. But if you get it, it can change your life because you are the village people. No, you're not the village people. You are the village, comma, people. We are the village. The children in this church are your children. The parents have the major responsibility, absolutely. But we raise the children in this church. We are the ones that teach them about Jesus. We are the ones that teach them that God has a plan for their lives. We are the village that these children need. And so, at the Connect desk, If you don't know where the Connect desk is, then you don't work with children. So that's okay. It's out the door and then go to your left. Keep walking. You'll hit it. At the Connect desk will be Pastor Denise and Pastor Kimmy. Rosanna and I will be at the book table. But you can sign up with any of us. Go to them and say, I'll help with children. What do you need? And they'll put you down for it. That's moving to action. Do it because you can change the trajectory of a child's life. Will you stand with me, please? I want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for Harvest Time Church. I thank you for bringing me to such a wonderful place where there are good people, good teaching, good ministry, and you are glorified in this place. Thank you, Father. But I pray right now for all those people that you want in children's ministry. And I ask that you would just touch their hearts so that they would say yes. And they would give their names to Pastor Denise and Pastor Kimmy. And that they would say yes. And that they would be encouragements and light and hope to the children here at Harvest Time. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing in this church, how you minister to children, and how you will continually minister to children. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can also, and this is not the least of it, you can also pray for the children. Not only pray for the children, but pray for those who work with the children. Children should be in the forefront, not the background. They should be in the forefront. Pastor Glenn, I'm going to my table.
Thank you so much, Judy. For our final act of worship, we're going to receive an offering. So the Assemblies of God tapped on Judy's shoulder and said, we need you to go to Europe. We need you to minister to these refugee kids. And by the way, you have to raise your own funds to do it. So Judy has a $100,000 budget. That is not for her living expenses. Those are covered. But that is to have some money to start up this center and these centers and supply them. And so I think we can make a good dent in that budget today. The other thing I didn't know, our denomination has a program called Speed the Light that provides vehicles for missionaries. Our youth group participates in Speed the Light and raises money. But Speed the Light has an age cutoff. And so I think it's terrible that they cut off missionaries at 40 years old and want them. No, it's a little, the age cutoff is a little bit higher than that. But Judy is over the age cutoff. And so it's really on my heart, Judy. I just want to do something to help you with a vehicle in Spain that you need to get around. And how many of you know we can do something today? We can do something. There's an extra offering envelope in your bulletin. And in just a moment, going to ask the ushers, you can bring them down. If you'd bring some offering plates, in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come forward and just leave an offering here on the altar for Judy and for work. If you're making out a check, make it to Harvest Time Church. We're going to put everything all together and send it to Judy's missionary account. Just before we pray, a couple things. My dear friend Galvin up here on the base. This is Galvin's last Sunday with us. He retired from the New York City Police Force. Galvin, thank you for your service to the city of New York. Galvin and Doris are relocating to North Carolina. So everybody's going to North Carolina. I'm going to go to North Carolina. So why don't we all just go together and we'll start Harvest Time South. But we just want to bless Galvin. Today is our friend Rosanna Sandromano's birthday. So if you see Rosanna, just wish her a happy birthday and bless her It's Armed Services Day, so we want to honor everybody who is active military. Our friend Paula Kelly is on duty somewhere around the building. Paula, thank you for your service to our country. Stretch your hands forward to our friend Galvin, and let's give thanks. Father, thank you for this time together in your presence. Lord, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your love for children. Jesus, you said, let the little children come to me and don't prevent them. Don't forbid them. Father, we just pray that you would bless Judy, Lord, as she takes on this new assignment. Open doors for her. Father, I pray that you would just provide everything she needs for the establishment of these centers. Lord, not just the funding, but Lord, the personnel. Lord, people who know art therapy and drama therapy, and Lord, people with language and all the giftings and ability. I pray that you'd provide her with monetary resources. I pray that you'd provide her with people resources, the right contacts in the right countries, Lord. And Father, we just ask that you'd put your blessing upon everything that she touches. Father, we thank you now for the week ahead. Thank you for your presence with us. And I pray that you'd be with us. Bless our friends, Galvin and Doris. Lord, Father, I pray that you'd bless them in this new chapter, this new season of their lives. And Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you. If you'd like to bring an offering, you can leave it here at the altar. There's coffee and donuts downstairs. If you'd like prayer, there's a prayer room across the foyer in that direction. God bless you, everybody.